Radio Universidad, la voz cultural de la Universidad Juárez del Estado de Durango, le informa. El siguiente programa es apto para todas las personas. Un espacio para aprender, disfrutar y compartir el saber.
Sean bienvenidos a estos 60 minutos de tributo a la música más importante de mitad del siglo XX. Es hora de rock. Comenzamos from the beginning.
Muy buenas tardes, bienvenidos a un programa más de From the Beginning. Estamos en Radio Universidad, en Boulevard Guadiana 407, Fraccionamiento Ciudad Deportiva. Llámenos al 618-827-1214, síganos en www.radiuged.mx o mándenos un mensaje de WhatsApp al 618-278-3176. Y pues le doy la bienvenida a don Rubén Flores Zúñiga, nuestro experto en rock progresivo. ¿Qué tenemos para el programa de hoy, mi estimado amigo?
Félix, buenas tardes. Buenas tardes, Efra. Pues hoy venimos a presentar el primer disco en concierto del virtuoso Rick Wakeman, un disco aclamado por la crítica. Se llama Viaje al Centro de la Tierra. Pues inspirado un poco en la novela de Julio Verne. Es una obra que consta de dos canciones solamente. Entonces vamos con el primer bloque, que sería El Viaje y la Recolección, y regresamos para comentar lo que le parece.
Perfecto. Se ve interesante estas dos piezas musicales, pero la primera.
Sí.
Vamos a ver. Vamos
ahorita,
con la primera.
Ahorita yo creo que escuchándola le va a encantar. Adelante, Efra.
Spiral Imperceptibly passed from reddish brown to bright yellow. Their way lit by crystals appearing as lighted globes, they continued through the lava gallery, which gently sloped until they reached the intersection of two roads. Without hesitation, Professor Lidenbrook chose the eastern tunnel, and the journey continued through a succession of arches appearing before them as if they were the aisles of a Gothic cathedral. The walls were enhanced with impressions of rock weeds and mosses from the Silurian epoch. The eastern route they had taken had come to a dead end. With 3 days' walk back to the fork to find Arne Saknussemm's original route, they found their water rations were limited to 1 day. Knowing their only chance of finding water was on that route, they set off for the fork, and there, finally, they fell, almost lifeless, on the third day. After sleep, they continued down the other tunnel in their quest for water, and while searching on his own, Hans the guide heard the sound of water thundering behind a granite wall, and with a pickaxe, attacked the wall so as to allow a stream of boiling water to enter and cool in their tunnel. Not only had they found life in the water, but they'd also found a flowing guide to the center of the earth. They called the stream the Hansbach. Replenished with the water, the journey continued with haste, but somehow they find themselves separated. Professor Lidenbrook's nephew, Axel, found himself alone. His mind was seized with unparalleled fear, and he saw memories of home flashing before him. His fiancée, Gråben, his house and friends in Hamburg. He saw hallucinations of all the incidents of the journey. And unworthy as he felt, he knelt in fervent prayer, and then in panic, he ran blindly through a tunnel, only to reach a dead end, where he fell panting for breath. In the darkness he cried, voices, 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 he heard voices. He heard his uncle's voice. Due to the shape of the gallery and the conducting power of the rocks, his uncle's voice was uncannily traveling around the walls. And by means of their chronometers, they discovered they were 4 miles apart. So Axel set about the task of rejoining the professor and their guide.
Hey. Memories of a life on earth go flashing past. Of home, of brother, friends of whom he's seen his last. Contemplating what his life's been worth, while trapped beneath the earth, an embryo at birth. Pain and fear destroy the beauty I have seen of caverns where no other man has ever been.
His feet. He fell down a vertical shaft, his head hitting a sharp rock. He lost consciousness. On opening his eyes, he found himself with the professor and the guide. And looking around him, he saw an ocean stretching as far as the eye could see. A giant forest of mushrooms, a line of huge cliffs, and strange clouds hung overhead as he lay on a deeply indented shore of golden sand strewn with shells. For a moment he thought he was back on the surface of the earth, but he soon realized that they had reached a world within a world.
Pues bien, regresamos pues a esta obra, vaya que sorprende.
Claro, la orquesta sinfónica, ¿verdad? Se oye impresionante la narración, ¿verdad? A mí me gusta mucho este disco. ¿Y qué le parece si nos vamos con el segundo bloque? ¿Qué, le gustó la primera parte?
Sí, esta parte de... Ahora sí que me imaginé a Beethoven regresando al presente.
Exactamente, y la incorporación de los teclados, que es lo más predominante. La voz del narrador me gusta mucho. Se me hace un disco excelente. Entonces, ¿qué le parece si vamos con la segunda y última parte de esta obra, que sería La batalla y el bosque?
Muy bien, pues adelante.
Having made a raft from wood taken from the giant mushroom forest, with rigging consisting of a mast made of two staves lashed together, a yard made of a third, and a sail borrowed from their stock of rugs, they set sail from the harbor, Port Graubin, named after Axel's fiancée. With a northwesterly wind propelling them along at about 3 miles an hour, silvery beams of light, reflected here and there by drops of spray, produced luminous points in the eddy created by the raft. Soon all land was lost to view. But 5 days out to sea, they witnessed a terrifying battle between two sea monsters, one having the snout of a porpoise, the head of a lizard, and the teeth of a crocodile, an ichthyosaurus, and the other, the mortal enemy of the first, a serpent with a turtle shell, the plesiosaurus.
Thank you. Cumulus clouds formed heavily in the south, like huge wool packs heaped up in picturesque disorder. Under the influence of the breezes, they merged together, growing darker, forming a single menacing mass. The raft lay motionless on the sluggish, waveless sea. And in silence, they waited for the storm. Days the storm had raged as they clung to the mast of their raft for safety. Finally, with their raft wrecked after being bashed against the reefs, they lay sheltered from the pouring rain beneath a few overhanging rocks where they ate and slept. The next day, all trace of the storm had disappeared, and what remained of their stock seemed intact. But checking the compass brought only heartbreak, as it showed that a change of wind during the storm had returned them to just a few miles north of Port Graubin. Deciding to try and find the original route, they advanced with difficulty over granite fragments mingled with flint, quartz, and alluvial deposits, eventually reaching a plain covered with bones like a huge cemetery. A mile further on, they reached the edge of a huge forest made up of vegetation of the tertiary period. Tall palms were linked by a network of inextricable creepers. A carpet of moss covered the ground, and the leaves were colorless, everything having a brownish hue. Exploring the forest, they discovered a herd of gigantic animals, mastodons, which were being marshaled by a primitive human being, a Proteus. He stood over 12 foot high, and he brandished an enormous bow, a crook worthy of this antediluvian shepherd.
Thank you.
dumb with astonishment and amazement which bordered on stupefaction, they fled the forest. Instinctively, they made towards the Lidenbrook Sea. Discovering a rusty dagger on the beach and the carved initials of the explorer before them on a slab of granite, they realized that they were once again treading the route of Arne Saknussemm. Following a short sea journey around a cape, they came ashore where a dark tunnel plunged deep into rock. And venturing down, their progress was halted by a piece of rock blocking their way. After deciding to blow their way through and setting the charge, they put out to sea for safety. With the explosion, the rocks before them opened like a curtain and a bottomless pit appeared in the shore. The explosion had caused an earthquake. The abyss had opened up and the sea was pouring into it. Down and down they plunged into the huge gallery, but on regaining their senses found their raft rising at tremendous speed. Trapped in the shaft of an active volcano, they rose through the ages of man, to be finally expelled out on a mountainside riddled with tiny lava streams. Their journey was completed, and they found themselves 3,000 miles from their original starting point in Iceland. They had entered by one volcano, and they had come out by another. With the blue mountains of Calabria in the east, they walked away from the mountain that had returned them, the frightening Mount Etna.
Pues ahora sí que gratamente sorprendido. Aquí ya yo veo que esto es más como una narración de obra, como si fuera algo de cine.
Ándale, fíjese que así pareciera, así pareciera como que es cine. De hecho, hay un concierto en Argentina donde el narrador lo hace en español. Ahí se entiende muy fácilmente el concepto en el que quiso trabajar Rick Wakeman con esta canción, con este disco. Ojalá y algún día se dé tiempo de verlo. Está grabado en Argentina y el narrador habla en español.
¿Y qué sigue a continuación?
Pues fíjese que para hacerle un pequeño homenaje a su primer disco de estudio. Él en su primer disco de estudio le hace un homenaje a las 6 esposas de Enrique VIII. Por cuestiones de tiempo, pues nada más podemos presentar 3 canciones, que sería Catarina de Aragón y Catarina Parr. Y pues espero que también les guste, porque ahí predomina el teclado, ahí sí no hay sinfónica ni nada, pero son 2 piezas excepcionales.
Perfecto. Escuchemos entonces, ¿cómo se llama la pieza?
Se llama Catarina de Aragón y Catarina Parr, de la obra Las 6 esposas de Enrique VIII.
Adelante, ¿verdad?
From the beginning.
Bien, pues aquí nos damos cuenta, o por lo menos yo percibo que el progresivo aquí es como un teatro musical, o un retrato, no teatro, retrato musical, ¿es correcto?
Es correcto, así es. Sí, la verdad, sí, muy atinado su comentario. Pues es una obra de 6 canciones, obviamente, pues dedicada a cada esposa, pero pues por cuestiones de tiempo, ahora sí no pudimos ponerlo todo, pero esperemos que algún día nos demos el tiempo de escucharlo todo. Es su primer disco en estudio de Rick Wakeman, y presentamos el primer disco en vivo de Rick Wakeman. Y pues con esto yo creo que nos despedimos. Hoy, 1 de marzo, el primer día del tercer mes. Qué rápido se va el tiempo.
Ya casi nos alcanza la fecha del 21 de marzo.
Ándele, exactamente.
Pero
así
en
es.
El siguiente programa a ver qué comentamos.
Claro, muchas gracias, Félix. Muchas gracias, Efra. Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la próxima.
Llegó el momento de despedirnos. Espero hayan disfrutado estos 60 minutos de Rockarte. Estamos en la frecuencia del 100.5 de FM, Radiohead. Hasta la próxima.